I think it's interesting, if you think about that song, Change My Heart, O God, that's the song Margie was just playing. You think about that song, and if we talk about the heart in the Bible, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. It never speaks about the physical pump of your body. It is always talking about your entire being, your entire, everything that you are made of. And if we could change that, like the song says, change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. May it be like you. It'd be a great thing. I'm so glad you're here this morning. Thank you, Margie, for doing that. And this morning, you know, we are starting a brand new series. Last week, we finished our series on The Heat Is On because it was so hot. And now we're all leaking. I don't understand what to do with that, but you can do with it what you want. It's a fantastic time to be a part of the church. Don't you agree? Oh, good. Three of you. We can do it with three people. I want you to take your Bible, if you have it, open it to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 is where we're going to be. When you get there, would you stand for the reading of God's Word? Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to begin reading in verse 15. It says this, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart, there's that word, to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God even the Father. And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for yet another opportunity to look at your divine word. Father, as always, as we look at your word, which is divine and holy and without error, Father, we are inadequate to interpret such things, Father, without the help of the Holy Spirit. So, God, we ask for the help of the Holy Spirit. As we look at your word, Father, that we might see it for what it is. Father, that we might be changed because of what it says and because of what you do in our lives through it. Thank you again for this opportunity, and we give this time to you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Haven't done one of these in a while, but I get so excited over certain words in Scripture. One of the words I get most excited about is the word, therefore. And that's where we started this morning. And why do I get so excited about the word, therefore? Because it usually takes you on a journey through Scripture. If you see the word, therefore, if you don't know this already, you always want to try to look backwards from wherever that word is and see what it is there for. Okay? So as we do this, I'm so excited that you're here, and I'm glad that you are going to go on this journey with me, because we've got to go backwards in Scripture. And this is something that we may normally do on a Wednesday night or a Sunday night, where we're just digging through piece by piece of Scripture. And so don't miss out on those opportunities to come and study God's Word. In the summer, it has been on Wednesday night. So come at Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. We do these kind of things. We look at Scripture in depth. We look at it and try to read everything out of the text. Now, why would I say that? Because I was listening to John Piper. Do you know, you guys ever heard of him? Listening to a message that he was doing. And as he began to start his message, he said a prayer, and it was so powerful to me. He said, God, help us to read out of the text what is there and not read into the text what we want. Now, as we think about that, it's very critical that we look at Scripture in such a way that we read out of the text what we see that we do not read into the text what we want. So we look at chapter 5, starting in verse 15, and there is therefore. So what is it therefore? Let's go back. Chapter 5, verse 7. You get a whole string of these therefores. Chapter 5, verse 7, therefore do not be partakers with them. Keep going back. Chapter 5, verse 1, therefore be imitators of God. Keep going backward. Chapter 4, verse 25, therefore laying aside falsehood, speak truth to one another. Speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Keep going backward, because we keep going back until we find therefore and therefore, and we're trying to figure out what all of these therefores are there for. Does that make good sense? Was that good English? Okay, good. We're trying to figure it all out. And so as we go back in the text, this is what we're going to do. Keep going back. We're in chapter 4, verse 25. Go all the way back to chapter 4, verse 17. So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind. All of these things are therefore the reason of our Christian walk. And what do I mean by that? Is this just a countenance that we have when we walk with our head held high and our chest out? We recently got a rooster to go along with our chickens, and I often marvel at how he walks around, because he just thinks he's hot stuff. I mean, he's a rooster. Why not? It's at least what it looks like whenever he walks. I'm not even going to attempt to do it, because my children would probably slay me on the stage. But you understand, is this what it means to walk in this way? Is this actually how we choose our gait? Right, left, right? No, I don't think so. This is the word here, walk, translates to this. To conduct my life, or to conduct our lives in such a way. So all of these therefores that we read out of Ephesians 4 and Ephesians 5 are there for the sake of us conducting our lives in such a way. So this is about our conduct. This is not just some theoretical assent, some mental assent to how we think we ought to be. This is something that we can actually use. This is something we can actually sink our teeth into as a church, as a body of believers. To walk in this way, to conduct ourselves in such a way. Do you remember whenever you were younger and you got your report card? What was one of the grades that you got? The teacher would always give you a grade for conduct. Remember that? I don't know if they still do that. Do they still do that? We used to get a grade for conduct. Miss Howard says, yes, conduct. It's a big deal how you conduct yourself from the time you get there to the time you leave. You even get a grade on it. In that same sense, we are to conduct ourselves in such a way that we live out God's word. And how do we do that? So we looked at all of the therefores in chapter 4, verse 25, therefore laying aside falsehood, speaking truth with their neighbor. Chapter 5, verse 1, be imitators of Christ. Chapter 5, verse 7, do not be partakers with them, being the evil people that were spoken of in verses 5 and 6. And now we are to chapter 5, verse 15, and it says, therefore, be careful how you walk. Be careful how you conduct your life. Be careful how we conduct ourselves. Why? Because there's a contrast here. Not as unwise men, but as wise. Not as unwise, but wise. Now that sounds really simple on the surface, just to be wise. This is how we are to conduct ourselves, as a wise person, not as an unwise person. What does the word unwise mean? A fool. A fool. You ever been called a fool? Or have done something foolish? I've done lots of things that were foolish. A fool who rejects God's ways. a fool that has a rejection of God's will. And if you and I believe God to be sovereign and overall and in control of all, which he is, and I would dispute you at every turn on that if you think otherwise, why would we ever want to go against his will or his way? Because we're not fools. Y'all are all smart and wise. You came to the building and sat in these seats, so you are wise beyond your years. But we wouldn't be fools, would we? To reject God's ways, to reject God's will. The reason why we do this, I'll tell you. The reason why we end up being in the predicaments that we are in and rejecting God's will and his ways is because of one thing. Selfishness. We are so incredibly, and myself included in that, entitled. We are so incredibly selfish. We want what we want, when we want, how we want. And God's will gets in the way of that. Sometimes. I want what I want, when I want it, how I want it, because I know best. What if we were to submit to God? What if we were to actually submit to him and say, I don't want what I want anymore. I want what you want. Let's shoot for that as a church. Let's shoot for that as a body of believers. Let's shoot for that as Live Oak Baptist Church and see where God takes us. Why are we supposed to be careful how we walk? Why are we supposed to be careful how we conduct ourselves? Look at verse 16, making the most of your time because the days are evil. Nobody in this room would dispute that. The days are evil. Just turn on the TV. Just turn on the news. You will see evil. Look at your social media account. Perhaps it won't take you long to find evil. Look on the internet. It will not take you long to find evil. The days are evil. And we are conducting ourselves in such a way that we are choosing God's preferences over our own. And verse 17 reinforces verse 15. I love it when Scripture reinforces and interprets Scripture for me, because then I don't have to do it. So then, in verse 17, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Remember? Be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. Unwise men being fools. In verse 17, then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. That is the wise man, understanding what the will of the Lord is. And then we get to verse 18. And this is one of the most controversial scriptures in our society. Perhaps even more so today, because drinking is so prevalent in our society. And so we look at this verse, and it is highly debated, highly disputed. And so what do we do with such a verse? Well, let's go back to verse 17, because it says, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. To understand what the will of the Lord is to be like us looking at a big puzzle and putting the pieces together in our mind. That would be our understanding. We put the pieces together for the sake of the whole, just like you do in a puzzle. And so as we are piecing these things together in our mind, that is our understanding. I want to read verse 18. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. That's all it says. Remember, we are not going to read out of the text what we want. We are going to read out of the text what is there. Because I think we get so caught up in the emphasis of this idea of being drunk with wine that we put so much emphasis where it shouldn't be in a text. I want us to take a look at a few key words as we get ready to interpret this piece of text.
and. It is the first word of a sentence, but it is also a conjunction, tying the thoughts of verses 15, 16, and 17 together. Be careful how you walk. This is about our conduct, remember? This is about how we are to conduct ourselves. Making the most of your time because the days are evil, so then do not be foolish, but understand and piece together what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine. In fact, it does mean intoxicated. Do not become intoxicated with wine, for that is dissipation. Now, your Bible might have a different word there. Depending on what translation you use, it might have a different word for dissipation. If it does, that's fine. The New Living Translation, I don't know if any of you guys have that, the NLT, actually does a pretty good job of interpreting this text. It says, do not get drunk with wine because this will waste your life. Dissipation is a waste. It is not just a physical waste of the wine that has been overly partaken of so that the people are now drunk. That is a physical waste of wine. Also, spiritual wastefulness. There is a dual purpose to this word. Spiritual wastefulness due to excessive behavior and the dire consequences it brings. That is straight out of the Greek dictionary. Spiritual wastefulness due to excessive behavior and the dire consequences that it brings. If you think about drunkenness, what are the things that it brings? Excessive behavior and dire consequences come out of this word. Remember, this is about our conduct. This is how we are supposed to be living our life. Not just mentally, I think I'm supposed to do this. No, this is how we are supposed to be living. But I want to make it clear, as we interpret text, you can't just interpret one without the rest, because this is not the only lifestyle choice that Paul addresses in the book of Ephesians. And we are so quick to just glaze over the rest of them and get hung up on verse 18. I want you to go back, chapter 5, verse 5. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ. So there you get. Immoral, impure, covetous, idolater. None of those people have an inheritance in the kingdom. Look at down at verse 11 of chapter 5. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. Unfruitful deeds of darkness. You see, chapter 5, verse 18 is not the only lifestyle choice that is being addressed. Chapter 4, go back. Chapter 4, verses 25 through 32. Therefore, laying aside falsehood. Remember, this is where we started with these therefore statements. Speak truth to one another, to each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. In verse 28, he who steals must steal no longer. They're stealing. But rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who is in need. Verse 29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Unwholesome talk is also being addressed in this series of lifestyle choices. Look down in verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Anybody made the list yet? I've certainly made it. We are all tied into this idea of how we are to conduct ourselves. And we get so caught up on one verse that we let the emphasis be all there,
And we glaze over all of these other lifestyle choices that we are just happy to revel in. We are just happy in our ignorance, because if we don't read them, then we don't have to abide by them, right? All of these things go back to a source of idolatry. I'm going to put something over my God. I am choosing something and preferring something over my God's will and over my God's way. It is idolatry in its purest form. I'm going to make an idol out of something else beside my God. It's pretty condemning words, even to your pastor. You don't think I have let bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander become part of my vocabulary at times? I am not exempt, church. Let me help us try to understand this. Because if you look at chapter 5, verse 18, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, comma. Everybody take a deep breath with me. There's a comma there. And what comes after the comma? For that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Look at that. Comma and but be filled with the Spirit. Remember, this is how we are to conduct ourselves. Be careful about all these other things that we've just talked about, comma, but be filled with the Spirit. That is great news, church. That is great news. There is hope in that. You can rest in that. Because yes, we have all failed. Yes, we have all taken part in all of these other lifestyle choices, perhaps not all of them, but some of them, we made the list. And wherever we fall on that list, there is a comma and a but. But be filled with the Spirit. Now, how do I know what that means? How do I even know what that feels like? To be filled. Usually when we think about the word filled, we think about something that was empty. If it's empty, you fill it. Okay? But let's just talk about this in these terms. Let's just say that after church, we all decide to go to the gas station. Every car goes to the gas station. And we fill up our tanks with fuel. And then we drive home. Won't your gas reservoir be depleted after your drive home? Even a little. Yes, it will. It doesn't mean you did anything bad or wrong or immoral. You just lived life. You see, life has a sneaky way of taking its toll on us and draining us. Even when we're not doing anything wrong, bad, immoral, we're not even talking about this list of things of how we are to conduct ourselves. It's just living life. And it sucks the life out of you and me. And so we need to be filled again. Whenever we go to the gas station to fill up our cars, usually we don't go in there coasting on empty, hopefully. My wife might dispute that. I'm good at driving with it on E. I'll run out of gas this week. I'll have to call somebody. Here's the thing. I usually don't go to the gas station when I'm completely empty. So you could say, you could make the case, I don't need to be filled with anything because I've still got some left in the tank. Oh, but see, that's where we get in trouble. I've got some left in the tank. Because I came to church on Sunday. Maybe I came to church on Wednesday. Maybe I came to church on Sunday night and I got filled, and then I lived life all week long and I still got some left in the tank even on the next Sunday, so I don't think I need to go again. Eventually we'll run out of gas. But be filled with the Spirit. This is something that has to happen daily. It has to happen every hour. It has to happen every time we open our mouth and live life. Because if not, we'll run out. What about anger? Have you ever heard this? They were just filled with anger. Does that mean they went to Sonic and just ordered a cup of anger and drank it down to the last drop? I don't even think that's on the menu, Sonic. You're all right. Here's the thing. Road rage? Anybody ever take I think I'll get that cup of road rage out of the refrigerator and take it with me on the trip. I got it. It's not how that works. But yet, whenever you see the result of all that, they said they were filled with rage, they were filled with anger, they were filled with all of this stuff. What about the flip side of that? When you are filled with the Spirit, then you are filled with love. You are filled with thankfulness. You are filled with gladness. You are filled with an overflowing of the Spirit. Even yesterday, I was riding with one of our church members, and we were driving down the road on the way back to my house, and I said, I know, speaking to the car in front of me that could clearly hear me, and I was in the passenger seat, I wasn't even driving, and I said, I know that Altima will go faster than that. That's where it starts. Because you are filled, and everybody's laughing now, because you've been there. And because we are filled with something else, those words come flying out of our mouth. Because here's the problem as we finish this morning. Here's the problem. We are all leaking. We're all leaking. The question is, what are we leaking? Because if we are filled with the Spirit, because look at verse 18, let's go back to the text. But be filled with the Spirit. If we are filled with the Spirit, look at what leaks out of us. Verse 19 is the leak of being filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. That's why it's so incredibly critical that we just not go through the motions. Because what we sing and what comes out of our mouth is a leak. It should be a leaking of the Spirit. So if you and I get to a point where we look at singing and worship and say, well, I don't know that I'm getting anything out of that, it's not because of what's happening up here or wherever you are or what's going on the radio. That's not because of what's being brought into your ears. That's because you're not filled with the right stuff. It's because I'm not filled with the right stuff. Whenever I have those moments where I say, this just doesn't feel, I didn't get anything out of that. Well, it's because I wasn't filled with the Spirit. Because when I'm filled with the Spirit, I leak the Spirit. Because it is a making melody with your heart to the Lord. With my entire being, I make melody to the Lord. As a leaking process of being filled with the Spirit. Keep reading as we finish. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord. When's the last time you were just genuinely thankful for what's going on in your life? It doesn't say for the good things, it says for all things. When you are filled with the Spirit, you find how to be thankful and grateful in all things. And that is difficult sometimes. When you think you should be opening a lemonade stand because life has thrown you lemons.
Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ.
I don't want to just glaze over that. When we are filled with the Spirit, we become subject to one another. We put others before ourselves. We put others' needs before our own. That is also what it looks like to be full of the Spirit.
So, church, my question today, because as believers, if you have trusted in what God did through Jesus Christ on the cross, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, if that is where you are as a believer, then we all have the same Spirit. So why do some of us look different? Why do some of you sound different than me? Because it's not how much of the Spirit we have, because we all have the same Spirit. It's not how much of the Spirit we have, it's how much of the Spirit has us. How much room do you have for filling of the Spirit? Because I know you're not running on empty, but there's other things that might be that you might be full of that might need to get removed. I'll say it one more time and we're done. It's not so much about how much of the Spirit we have, it's how much of the Spirit has us. And so this morning, as we have begun this idea of leaking, my prayer is that we would leak out of the fullness of the Spirit. When you are full of the world, you leak the world. When you are full of the Spirit, you will leak the Spirit. And so see, let's make sure and get it all together and not put emphasis where it shouldn't go. But let's be filled with the Spirit this week. Let's pray. Father, thank you for another opportunity to look at your word. Father, to try to grasp an understanding of what Paul was trying to say to believers in Ephesus. Father, I pray that as we let these words fill us, that we would be filled in turn with the Spirit, so that our lives and our conduct reflects being full of the Spirit. And not just about being, not becoming drunk with wine, but Father, all of the other lifestyle choices that were addressed in this letter, anger, bitterness, malice, Father, all of the things that we let fill us, Father, would we allow you to take those things from us? Would we surrender those things to you so that there would be space for the Spirit to fill us? Father, we are desperate today to be filled with the Spirit. Would you allow us to feel that this morning? We give this time to you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.